Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
Well, it's expensive enough being a heterosexual couple married to your wife or your husband. There's a recent story in the New York Times about the high price of being a gay couple. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris joins us for the remainder of the program to talk about that. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is a founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You're an economist. Does gay marriage make economic sense in the United States? About 45 seconds before we take a break.
Well, no, not really. Gay marriage doesn't really do anything for the economy one way or the other. I mean, basically it amounts to a series of transfers from one pocket to the other. Some of these groups come out every time there's an election and say, oh, gay marriage is going to help our economy. Well, usually what they mean is it's going to help florists and caterers and people who cater to out-of-town tourists who come in to get married. But that's just moving money from one pocket to the other. But all those people would have spent that money on something else or in some other state. So that doesn't count as improving the economy. That's a very basic economic fallacy to think that that's a boost for the economy.
When we come back more with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris, it turns out if you're looking at it purely as, home economics kind of a thing, it is more expensive to be a gay couple than to be a heterosexual couple. We'll find out the particulars and what Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris thinks about it on the other side of the break, the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. this Tuesday, October the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, or Twitter us at @issuesETC. More with Jennifer Roback-Morris after this.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking Chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about a recent New York Times story about the high price of being a gay couple. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. This is, I can hardly even, you know, balance my own checkbook and keep my own house in financial order, Jennifer. So, you know, sorting out what it costs for a heterosexual couple versus a homosexual couple in terms of running their lives together from beginning to end, how would you break it down for us?
Well, that New York Times article is extremely revealing, and I just posted something about it on the Ruth Institute blog, and your readers can go get all the details there at ruthblog.org. Because what they did is the New York Times thought, oh gosh, this is going to be a slam dunk, it's going to be so easy. They budgeted a couple weeks to produce this story. Well, it turned out it took them 2 months to run all the calculations necessary to figure out what difference it would make if you were a same-sex couple versus a heterosexual married couple. And the reason it takes so long, of course, is that our tax code is such a big mess, and there isn't one answer, you know. So they ran one set of numbers for a couple where the two people had comparable incomes, and another set of numbers for a couple where you had one earner or earning $70,000 and one earner earning $30,000, and that low-income person stayed home with kids for 5 years. So that's the way they did it. And, of course, the answers that they got, they've got a best-case scenario and a worst-case scenario and so on. And the fact is that the worst-case scenario, of course, is for the family that, in most of the cases, is for the family where they're staying home with kids. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the tax code and everything is kind of biased against people staying home with their kids. You know, any benefits from Social Security, there's no marriage benefit to Social Security, for example, if both people earn about the same amount of money. You see, it all has to do with how they handle the secondary earner who's staying home with kids. So, unwittingly, the New York Times calculations revealed just how serious the marriage penalty actually is. And of course, gay activists don't want to talk about this point, that the tax consequences of getting married for a large number of people take a tax hit when they get married. They don't get big tax breaks. They don't get big benefits. They take a tax hit when they get married. And so all of this kind of boo-hooing over how sad it is for gay couples that they can't get married, it's not about taxes. I don't know what it's about, but it's for sure not about taxes. And if you read that New York Times article carefully, you'll see that that's the case.
So how would you summarize the cost-benefit analysis of being a gay couple?
Well, okay. First of all, this is a three-page article on the internet on the New York Times, and then I made a comment on it on the ruthblog.org that took about, I don't know, I had about 7 points on it. So I don't know if I'll get to all of the points on it, you know, in our short talk together here, Todd. But let me mention just a couple of them, because I'm reluctant to summarize, because they give a grand total of a number at the end, but that grand total kind of hides a lot of things that I think are very interesting. The one that's most interesting to me is that I have often said that all the legitimate needs of same-sex couples can be met without redefining marriage. You know, we've talked about this many times. You know, the whatever their problems are, they can, you know, you can go get a will and deal with the estate problems, and you can get a second-party adoption, and, you know, you can do all kinds of things. You can solve all the practical problems without redefining marriage. And they always bounce back at you and say, oh, no, that's not true. Look at all the paperwork you have to do, blah, 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 boo-hoo, boo-hoo, woe is us. Well, the New York Times figured out what it costs for all those legal filings, and they figured they had two different categories of legal filings, and I think the grand total that they came up with was something around $18,000 spread over 46 years. And I'm thinking, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's a really trivial cost. If that's all we're crying about, that's crazy, you know. So that's one point, is that I felt when I looked at that, I thought, well, gee, this is what I've been saying all along. We should just not redefine marriage, but allow people to use all of the legal tools that are already out there. It's not really that big of a deal. The other place, though, that is quite interesting, where it seems like there is a big difference, where there's the big cost to gay couples, one of the big costs, is estate taxes, the cost of estate taxes. So, if in most states, if you've done even a reasonable job of managing your will, when you die, your wife will automatically get all of your stuff, and that's pretty automatically. The spouse gets the estate of the other spouse in most cases, under most circumstances. And whereas for the gay couple, even if they have a goodwill, so that they actually, so that there's no question about who is supposed to get the money, there's still a big estate tax will kick in, a big federal estate tax kicks in. So my answer to that is very simple. Just abolish the death tax, which would be good policy anyway, in any case, and that's what George W. Bush wanted to do. And, we should just that's good policy anyhow, get rid of the death tax. And if you think about it, that death tax only affects higher-income people. So why are we boo-hooing over high-income gay couples? That doesn't add up to me. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of the big sources of differences between same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples. And then finally, the other big area where there was a big discrepancy had to do with health insurance, and how health insurance is allocated depending upon whether your employer has domestic partner benefits and, whether you're employed, your spouse is employed, all those kind of things. So there are a lot of variations. There are a lot of different permutations that a person can face. But there again, allocating health insurance is not the principal purpose of marriage. The principal purpose of marriage is to attach mothers and fathers to their children and to one another. That's what marriage is all about. Marriage is not about health insurance. So if you're worried about health insurance, reform health insurance, but don't use marriage as a way of making sure people get their health coverage. None of that makes any sense. And so the New York Times article, they wrote this three-page spread that cost them 2 months' worth of effort to come up with this report saying that it's so terrible that same-sex couples can't get married and it would save them so much money over the lifetime of their relationship if only we could have federal same-sex marriage. But the bottom line of that article, if you read it closely, is really nothing of the kind. If you really read it closely, the benefits are going to flow mostly to high-income gay couples. And it's not something for which we should tie ourselves up into a pretzel, redefining marriage for the handful of people who would be affected by this. I mean, it really, to me, it undercuts their case. It doesn't help their case. It actually undercuts their case if you look at it closely.
So what do you suggest, a few specifics, what do you suggest we do for those who say, well, look, even if you don't illegalize gay marriage to solve these problems, what do you suggest to solve them, these disparities?
Well, look, a lot of these disparities are already being solved, and that's what was interesting about the article. There are legal tools available to solve your inheritance problems. There are legal tools available to solve a whole variety of problems. That's number one. And number two, it's not clear why our goal should be that every single couple gets treated exactly the same, in every circumstance. It's not the case that every married couple of all different incomes and situations, they're not all treated the same by the tax law. People have all kinds of variations. So this drive for equality, for equality's sake, or to offset some kind of harm to one's dignity or something, that doesn't really make sense if you actually look at all of the different things our tax code is trying to accomplish and all the different things that the tax code does, in fact, do to people. The other cost, of course, that they include in there is that they calculate that if a gay couple wants to have a child, it costs them $40,000 more than it costs a straight couple to do so. And I'm looking at that thinking, well, whose fault is that? What exactly do you plan to do to offset that? Or what, are you going to give them a tax credit or something so they can have manufacture a baby without it costing them anything? When you take the idea of equality too far, it doesn't make any sense. Now, this is Mother Nature having her say. This is Mother Nature saying there's a natural, low-cost way of making babies, and then there's all this other stuff, And to act as if there's some kind of unfairness involved in the fact that same-sex couples can't have a baby together without expending a lot of resources, there's nothing unfair about that. That's just reality. That's facing reality. And honestly, that didn't belong in the story at all, because the New York Times is saying, well, if we have same-sex marriage, most of these costs would go away. Well, that cost isn't going to go away. Whether a same-sex couple calls themselves married or has a certificate from the state or anything else, it's still going to cost them something to have a baby through the laboratory in comparison with a couple that is a heterosexual couple with no infertility issues. You know, so this is kind of a sleight of hand that the New York Times is pulling off here, and I think really revealing their bias. Gay couples have it so much worse than the rest of us, and all the rest of us need to jump up and down and make it better for them. You know, well, I don't think anybody owes it to gay couples to make it possible for them to have a baby at zero cost. I mean, if anything, the opposite is true. We owe something to the children of all couples to make sure that they have a relationship with both of their parents, which is exactly what same-sex marriage prevents.
Folks, we'll post a link to a recent blog post that Jennifer Roback Morse has written about the New York Times story titled The High Price of Being a Gay Couple under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jen, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Halloween. Gretchen Passantino will be our guest. We'll talk to Dr. Jean Edward Veith about homeschooling. Thursday, we'll review what's called the scariest movie. My daughter saw it and fell asleep. It's called Paranormal Activity. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will be our guest. Then Friday, we'll study the hymn Jerusalem the Golden with Dr. Arthur Jest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.